Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
The MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WynnBET. Bet $10 at WynnBET and get $200 in free bets. Bet big and win bigger with WynnBET. Download the WynnBET app now or visit WynnBET.com and start winning today. We're also brought to you by Coors Light. Get mountain cold refreshment delivered straight to your door via Drizzly or Instacart by going to CoorsLight.com/SGP. That's CoorsLight.com/SGP. And next, we're brought to you by PropSwap, America's marketplace to buy and sell sports bets. Use promo code SGP on your first deposit to receive up to $500 in bonus cash. Head on over to PropSwap.com or download the PropSwap app today. And finally, we're brought to you by StableDuel. StableDuel is horse racing daily fantasy sports app where you can play free and paid games for real cash prizes. You can win as much as $40,000 with just one entry. Head on over to StableDuel.com to get started today. And, of course, don't forget to download the SGPN app. It's your home for all of our free picks and podcasts. Download the SGPN app wherever it is you download apps.
Hi-ho, Degenerinos, and welcome to the MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. Episode 134. Goes out to the Easter Bunny, of course, because today's his big day. I think that's it. So if you celebrated Easter, happy Easter to you. If you're one of our friends celebrating Ramadan, I think that's still on. Happy Ramadan. And whatever you celebrate, this one goes out to you. So episode 134, thanks for coming to this here podcast. We got another jam-packed episode, as we usually do. I would be your host. Uh-oh, I forgot my nickname again. I remember it. I still am Beast in 25-8, Jeff Fox. You may know me from sportsgamblingpodcast.com or moneymma.substack.com or this year podcast, because we've got 134 of them in the books. So, now I'm hoping, speaking of the Easter Bunny, I'm hoping he brought my co-host a clue, because he definitely needs one after this weekend, because he did you people dirty, as we like to say in the business. But it happens to the best of us. It hasn't happened to me this year, but hey, it happens to the rest of you plebes. But anyway, let's bring him in. His name is Daniel Gumby Vreeland. Hello.
Yeah, I usually have some kind of snappy defense, and I trust me, I had prepared one while I was watching, including a fight that I believe I should have gotten right, and then because the MMA gods giveth and the MMA gods taketh away. Then I was immediately, shortly thereafter, given a fight that I believe I should not have had for literally the exact same reason. So, it was a no good, bad night filled with terrible fights that I didn't get right.
Yes, it was a very odd weekend for MMA, Friday and Saturday. We probably should just dive right into it. Since it is already late on Sunday, and my favorite basketball team, the Phoenix Suns, are playing, and Dan's favorite baseball team, the Atlanta Braves, are playing, and yet we're still recording for you lovely fans, because we love you. So
your Suns look phenomenal right now, by the way.
I'm recording it, so I don't want to hear.
Oh, shit.
Okay?
Sorry.
that's a real spoiler. The Suns are doing good against the Pelicans. Go figure. But anyhow. All right, let's tell you about WynnBET, and then we'll tell you about Coors Light, too, and then we'll crack into this here thing. Dan will need a few Coors Lights in him before we get to his results. All right, first WynnBET. Make sure to get down on the WynnBETs. I messed it up this time. I did it all right last time. I messed it up this time. Make sure to get down on the WynnBET $10 win $200 promotion, where a $10 bet qualifies you for up to $200 in free bets. Plus, the WynnBET Casino is offering 100% deposit bonus up to $1,000. And, of course, don't forget to get involved in their same game parlays with the Wynn's own Build Your Own Bet feature. There's so much to choose from, and all you have to do is download the WynnBET app or visit WynnBET.com to get started. Offer subject to change. Terms and conditions at WynnBET.com. Must be 21 or older and present in the state where play through WynnBET is available. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. I mess up just to show everyone that this goes straight to your ears. There's no editing involved whatsoever. So all the mess ups are on purpose. Let's tell you about Coors Light. Do you ever feel like you're always on? I do. Except when I do these ad reads, because I'm totally off when I do them for some reason. Work, friends, family, a million pressing social issues, and an expectation to be on 24/7. Sometimes you just need a moment to turn off and hit reset. That's when you reach for Coors Light. It's made to chill. When cracking open a Coors Light would be perfect for, would it be perfect for you to crack open a Coors Light? Maybe when you go, 6-8 with your UFC Vegas 51 picks like Dan, that might be a good time to crack up, open a Coors Light, and sit back and chill and think about all the messes that you've caused for everybody who listened to you and followed you. But that's just one example of when would be a good time to crack in a Coors Light. Because when you or me or Dan or anyone needs take a second to chill for themselves, I reach for the beer, you reach for the beer, Dan reaches for the beer that's made to chill. It's Coors Light. Get it delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart by going to CoorsLight.com/SGP. That's CoorsLight.com/SGP. And remember to always celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. I think I proved it that we don't edit this thing after those two ad reads, right? They were super smooth.
It's smooth as a Coors Light going down. That's a good save there, first of all. And then second of all, you know, it's late, you know, and you can't both get picks right all the time and do great ad reads. I do one, you do the other.
Always be on, Dan? I always feel like I have to be on. All right. Let's start with Bellator, because Bellator did a lot of Bellator-y things, even though, like, a lot of it is, like, not even – that's the thing about Bellator. I guess it's the karma around them, the juju. They just don't – Bellator things happen to them, even when they aren't out there being Bellator. When they're just minding their own business, Bellator-y things happen. Like, in the SAP Center in San Jose, California, at Bellator 277, top two fights had a lot of Bellator happening in them. These are the fights that Dan picked. He got them both wrong, but first one, the main event was a big, at least odds-wise, was a big upset. And the co-main event, we had no contest. So co-main event was for the light heavyweight championship and for the Bellator light heavyweight Grand Prix. And the winner of that gets $1 million. So someone was guaranteed to walk out with an extra $1 million last night, except they weren't. No one walked out with an extra $1 million because Corey Anderson accidentally headbutted Vadim Nemkov at 455 in the third round, round that he dominated. Second round, he also dominated after Nemkov clearly won the first round. So basically, it was a no contest. If the fight had lasted through to the end of the third round, they would have gone to the judges' scorecards, because more than half of the fight would have been completed. There's a lot of odd rules with this thing, but what I heard is, as long if it had lasted through the third round, so another 5 seconds or whatever, it would have gone to the scorecards. Corey Anderson more than likely would have won, because he pretty much dominated the last two rounds, and he would have been the champion, and he would have been $1 million richer. But no, because this is Bellator. So the tournament ended with no winner, and they're going to have to try to rerun it, the finals at least.
Yeah, it was bizarre in a way that we could only hope that a Bellator Grand Prix would be, because they've already that tournament's already had multiple replacements, right? If I'm not mistaken, right? Like we saw, was it Yoel Romero who pulled out, and we wound up with a replacement fight for Nemkov in the semifinals. So like, I mean, it just goes to show, as much as we love tournaments and we love thinking about tournaments and we love booking tournaments and stuff like that, at the end of the day, in modern MMA, it just like doesn't work anymore, right? Like it just doesn't, with the way people get hurt and the way stuff lines up, it's just like not made for the modern MMA anymore. So not fun that it got sort of thrown out like this. Kind of sucks if you had a Corey Anderson ticket, as I suggested you should, and you wind up, I mean, at least with the push, at least you're not like walking out of there with empty handed. You at least get your money back on it. But, you know, like it sucks that you were 5 seconds away from just cashing that thing. And we will talk about DQs that turn into technical decisions. Trust me, we will get to it. But yeah, like, you know, kind of annoying, but at the end of the day, like, maybe it serves a good purpose to just tell you that, like, we need to stop doing this.
What, fighting or gambling when I'm fighting?
Tournaments in general. They're just
gamble.
We can still do that. I think it would be kind of a bummer to the idea of hosting this podcast if we couldn't keep doing that. So
okay,
yeah, we can keep doing that.
All right, good. Like I said, it was a very bellatory thing to happen. So Corey Anderson, he still got $250,000, so that's not too shabby. You can get all the payouts actually were released by the State Athletic Commission, so you get those on my MMA site money, MMA-substack.com, if you want to see how much everyone got paid out. But, like, you could have got $1 million. And like Dan said, people that were betting on Corey Anderson probably were a little bummed because he really turned things around after the first round, and well, who knows? Who knows what would have really happened after this if this fight had continued? But he had clearly won round two and three. And Anderson, you could add him at plus money, plus 142 is what he was at when we recorded. And then Dan gave out the picks. You got to think Scott Coker, Bellator, Perez had whatever his official title is, says they're probably going to try to run it back in the summer sometime. You got to think the odds are going to be more in the pick 'em area. You got to think after what Anderson showed.
Yeah, I think they probably wind up being exactly that. It's just a pick 'em. Yeah. Like, because it's not like he was so dominant that you would make him a favorite. It's not that, he was getting beat the way we thought he would. He was doing slightly better, and the odds were pretty darn close to begin with.
Yeah. But what I'm saying is your chance of getting plus money on him are probably over, unfortunately. So that was very bellatory. The main event, I wouldn't say it was bellatory in a bad way. It was two of the best fighters in Bellator. They had a pretty good fight. People think it was a controversial decision. Patricio Pitbull ended up winning the rematch, which we both predicted he would not. He beat AJ McKee, who was when we recorded, he was minus 455. Pitbull was plus 280. He beat him 49-46, 48-47, 48-47. There was some controversy about the scoring just because it was a close fight. I think the right man won. I had Pitbull winning 48-47. If I remember correctly, I had McKee win round one, Pitbull win the next three, and then I had McKee win the last round, I believe.
Yeah, I actually think I gave round one to Pitbull.
It was kind of a toss-up, right?
Yeah, I agree with you on five for McKee. I think that one was obvious. And I think 2, 3, 4 were pretty clearly Pitbull, too. And then, yeah, you could flip a coin on round one. But, like, under no circumstance could you give McKee more than 1 in 5. And, the big bellatory moment of this that kind of marred it was the fact that AJ McKee's dad told him going into round five that he was up four rounds. And somewhat surprisingly, that's the best round he had was round five after being told that, which I don't know what that means. Maybe he needed to quote unquote play it safe in the earlier rounds and maybe he would have done better. But I think the right person won. I think we're set up for a trilogy now. Also, fun fact, if you've checked on MMADecisions.com, there are three people who scored it for AJ McKee, and just two of them happen to work for Sherdog.
There you go. The Sherdog hate continues.
It's beautiful. This one was too easy. I was like, I watched the fight kind of like half-assed, and then I was like,
you're half on acid, you said?
Oh, half.
It's half, just like a half a tab? Is that what you said?
A-S-S-E-D, half acid.
Is that a word?
Yeah.
Acid? Okay. It's true. A-S-S-E-D would be. A-S, you didn't say A-C-I-D, like you didn't take half a tab
correct,
and watch it?
Correct. I did not. All right. No, I don't.
Just clear. Because we don't have any sponsors that produce acid. So. Okay, go ahead.
So I was just kind of like half watching the main event, and I thought it was Pitbull pretty easily, and I was like, maybe I have to go back and watch it based on some of the Twitter responses, because some people seem to think that AJ McKee was even remotely in this fight, and I was like, maybe I'll just check MMA decisions first before I come to a real conclusion, and saw that, and I was like, nope, this is perfect. This is exactly what I needed to see.
And no, it's one of my longtime readers of my sites emailed me saying, upset about the scoring. Not upset about the scoring of that fight, not seeing what side he was on. And I said, yeah, I was. So I replied, yeah, it was pretty clear that Pitbull won 3 rounds to 2, and he was on the other side of it. So, hey, who's to say? Everyone sees these things differently, apparently. But I think the right man won the fight. It was a pretty good fight. Did you see anything else in the card? I hear there was some fight that the severe MMA guys are going insane over. It was the Luna versus Hernandez fight, supposedly was a banger. Did you see that one at all or hear about it?
I've caught some highlights of it, but I didn't go back and watch the whole thing, largely because, again, I'm just – most of the undercards of Bellator fights, even if they're exciting, just kind of a bummer. I did watch both Aaron Pico versus Abley Edwards, which I was in on Abley Edwards. I thought he had a chance, especially as a plus 800 underdog. I even threw it in the Slack, telling people to keep an eye out for him. And Aaron Pico is really evolving into the person we kind of always thought he should have been, which is – you know, upsetting here for Abley Edwards, but man, did that dude just keep pushing forward and keep trying. And then I watched the Linton Vessel versus Tim Johnson fight too, which
I hear that was hilarious.
I mean, it's a Tim Johnson fight. That's what it was. Yeah. And slowly Linton Vessel, despite being like not big enough to be a real heavyweight, is now beating like
1,000 years old.
Yeah. And like really fucking old, is now beaten like a handful of heavyweights, like legit-ass heavyweights in the UFC in a row, or in the Bellator in a row, rather, and is probably looking at a heavyweight title shot.
You said legit heavyweights in Bellator, did you?
The most interesting statement. How about the most legit heavyweight
in Bellator?
Yeah. I mean,
I don't even know.
I'll say this. Tim Johnson is legit enough. He did beat Tyrell Fortune, who I am pretty high on. He also beat Sergey Kharitonov, again, who despite being 755 years old, is again like a legit heavyweight. So, yeah, like a couple of decent dudes.
Yeah, I guess that's true. That's true. So, anyway, yeah, that's Bellator. They have, what, 2 events coming up this weekend, right? Back-to-back Friday and Saturday from Hawaii. Are we going to break down any of those fights, you think, next on Wednesday? Do you want to do picks for other – is what, championship fight in each one, right?
Yeah, maybe we'll do the main events and maybe like another sleeper pick that we like lower on the card or something like that.
There you go, people. So you don't have to ask me in the Slack, so we'll do that. And I think PFL is starting up this week too, is it not?
Like real PFL or the pretend PFL? Hang on, now I got to
check. I think the real PFL is starting up, I think. Not this challenger.
I thought that was May for some reason. Okay. But we'll put the intern on it. Give me a moment.
All right. Yeah, so we'll – I'm going to tell you about some more of our sponsors while Dan does that. You're going to get extra picks again this week. We guarantee you that. You'll at least get some Bellator picks. So, all right, let me tell you about Athletic Greens. We're brought to you by Athletic Greens and their AG1 supplement. I messed up again, first sentence. So what is this stuff? It's AG1 is what it is, guys. With one delicious scoop of AG1, you're absorbing 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, whole food source superfoods, probiotics, and adaptogens, which we have figured out a few episodes ago, help you adapt, to help you start your day right. This special blend of ingredients supports your gut health, your nervous system, your immune system, your energy, recovery, focus, and aging, all the things you're looking for from a supplement. It costs you less than $3 a day. You're investing in your health, and it's cheaper than your cold brew habit. AG1 supports better sleep quality and recovery, and Athletic Greens has over 7,000 five-star reviews. To make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free one-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/SGP. Again, that is athleticgreens.com/SGP to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. We're also brought to you by IP Vanish. Did you know that browsing online using incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? That's right. Without added security, you might as well give away all your private data to hackers, advertisers, your ISP, and other prying eyes. That's why I use IP Vanish VPN to make it easy to stay truly private and secure on the internet. IPVanish helps you safely browse the internet by encrypting 100% of your data. This means that your private details, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be completely shielded from falling into the wrong hands. Even your physical location will be hidden. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. It's that simple. You can use IPVanish on unlimited devices without sacrificing on speed. Your computers, tablets, phones, even devices like your Fire Stick when you're streaming media. Whether I'm at home or in public, I never go in public, but if I did, I don't go online anymore without using IPVanish. IPVanish is offering an incredible 70% off the yearly plan for our listeners with a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's just like getting 9 months for free. IPVanish is super easy to use. All you have to do is tap one button and you're instantly protected. You won't even know it's on. Stop sharing with the world everything you stream, everything you search for, and everything you buy. Take your privacy back today with the brand rated 4.6 out of 5 on Trustpilot. Go to ipvanish.com/SGP. Use promotional code SGP and claim your 70% savings at ipvanish.com/SGP. Okay, intern, get back to you, Dad.
Yeah, they're going to – the fights start on Wednesday, so they will probably be fighting while we're recording.
All right. So you
probably won't get PFL picks, but from that week on, they go back to their regular Thursday day, so you'll start getting ones on time because this week
– I
don't know why they did Wednesday this week. That's a weird one.
Yeah, but hey. Okay, maybe we'll give you picks coming up. We'll see. You can always jump in our SGPN Slack because Dan's always giving out losing picks in there, and Superfan Jong tails along, and then we both lose together. Right, guys?
And that's not always correct, no.
Well, it happened once, so once equals always now, so that's the way it goes. So, and just joking, go on the Slack. Everyone always has good ideas for picks and stuff. And sometimes events are recorded beforehand, and the results get out, and you can bet on it.
Then you get a real tip.
Then you get a real tip. All right. Okay, let's hop into this last night's card that Dan's very salty about because he did not do very good in the picks. It was an okay event to watch. UFC and ESPN, Luque versus Muhammad 2, went down from the UFC Apex in Enterprise, Nevada. Don't you think that was Las Vegas you were watching last night? It was Enterprise, Nevada. All right. We got the main fight wrong, Dan, which left a bad taste. Even though I ended up, my picks ended up good, as per usual. 9-5, thank you very much. And up money again. I'm still up money for the year somehow. I left a bad taste in my mouth because we whiffed on the main event, which, like I said, didn't leave a good taste in my mouth. Bilal, remember his name, everyone, Muhammad. Unanimous decision victory over Vicente Luque, 49-46, 49-46, 48-47. It was pretty much going the way we had hoped it would go, at least for the first few rounds. Muhammad was clearly winning, but Luque was doing a good job corralling him with leg kicks, and he was landing the more forceful strikes. And it just seemed like it was going to be a matter of time before he finally picked him off and finished Mr. Remember the Name, but that did not come to pass. Muhammad rode that tightrope. Like I said, there is a path to victory for him, but it's going to be a very risky one to dance around Vicente Luque for 25 minutes. But he accomplished it and got himself perhaps the biggest win of his career because it really puts him in a good spot in the welterweight division now.
Yeah, I really didn't think he was going to be able to stick from the outside nonstop for 25 minutes, but that's pretty much what he did. He circled exceptionally well. When Luque moved into range, he either feinted really well to deter him from coming in or landed one of those leg kicks. And then when that stopped working every single round, he shot one takedown, and that was enough to both, like, throw some check boxes on his side for the round to win the round, but also enough to, just kind of stop Luque from doing it in the next round long enough that he could possibly win. So, yeah, like, really impressive performance for him as far as, like, being able to get it done and pick up a win over a really good opponent. But, like, here's my question for you. Immediately after the fight, he calls for Colby Covington. On a scale from 1 to 10, with 10 being the most likely and 1 being the least likely, what are you rating the chance that Colby Covington ever takes that fight?
How many yawns would that fight be, you mean? That fight's not going to happen. Covington has nothing to gain from that fight, and it's Muhammad's not an exciting fighter either. So, no, that fight is not going to happen. So.
Yeah, it's the exact opposite of the Jorge Masvidal fight. He is a guy who is extremely difficult to beat, as we just saw with Vicente Luque. Even with pressure, he's very difficult to beat and does not have a huge marquee next to his name that would allow Colby Covington to catapult himself forward. So, like, yeah, why would he fight Bilal Muhammad when he could fight somebody like you know, Khamzat, or he could fight, you know, a Diaz brother, or he could, you know, try to trick Connor or Dustin Poirier to come up and fight him. So, yeah, like, there's no chance he has that. Then he took all kinds of pot shots at Leon Edwards. Did you hear this? He said Leon Edwards has Dana White privilege.
Ha, ha, ha. The last man that has Dana White privilege is Leon
Edwards. Yeah, I was just going to say, Leon Edwards. Is there a dude who's been more fucked over by Dana White than Leon Edwards?
No doubt. I said Leon White. You know who Leon White was, Dan?
Leon White. I don't know Leon White.
Vader. Vader. Oh. Big Man Vader. Anyhow.
Wow, I did love Big Man Vader. I love Vader bombs.
No doubt. How can you not? How can you not? But if you have to tell people to remember your name, then yeah, that's not – you're not a marquee fighter, right? You should not have to tell people to remember your name. Everyone should know your name already.
That is true. And don't get me wrong. Like, it is an impressive performance, and I don't want to overshadow the fact that, like, I do think he's doing a really great job of evolving as a fighter and using the skills he has to make himself difficult. But, like, man, did he fumble the bag as far as, like, a call-out and, subsequent interviews. He did not make himself, you know, he already seems to kind of be hated more than I think is really warranted. And then he just...
There's no good reason to hate him. He's not that excited about fighter, but...
There's no good reason to dislike him. Like, I like Bilal Muhammad. I think he's... But, yeah, like, at the same time, I think somebody needed to coach him through this situation because I think he bumped.
And yeah, looking at the performance rankings that I run on that Money MMA Substack, based on who the fighter has beaten, how recently the win was, did he finish the fighter, that type of thing. Muhammad's jumped up to number 2 behind Usman. He's moved ahead, slightly ahead of Leon Edwards. So the performances are definitely there. He is very similar to Leon Edwards, though. One of those, like, he wins, but he's not really that exciting or impressive ever when he wins, but he keeps winning.
Yeah, I mean, like, him versus Leon would make a lot of sense, although it looks like Leon's getting a title shot, so maybe if Leon loses, just line him up.
Yep. First Vader bomb wins the fight. Whoever does the Vader bomb first is the winner, is my decision. But yeah, I were you thinking we had that one in the bag too? I was just waiting. Like, I thought, okay, Luque's going to finish it anytime now. And I'm already, like, thinking ahead, like, I wonder how he would do against Khamzat and all that type of thing. But yeah, it never happened.
When he didn't, so I think he, if I'm remembering correctly, it was the third round he kind of hit Bilal with a pretty big shot and seemed to have him on wobbly legs. When he didn't finish him there, I immediately started worrying that this was over and Bilal was going to win three or four rounds.
Yeah, was the first couple rounds. I was still thinking it was headed the right way for us.
Yeah, and then when he stunned him but didn't get the finish, I was
it was around the third round.
No, okay. this is going to add in the wrong way.
Yeah. And he went away from the leg kicks. They were working so well for him the first few rounds. He seemed to, like, abandon them as the fight went on.
Yeah, and Gilbert Burns was even yelling from the stands to go back to him, and he didn't.
Yeah,
because
it was working.
Yeah.
And it would have, 25-minute fight, it would have kept Muhammad in front of him, you think, eventually, if he kept beating up his legs. But hey, who am I to say? So anyhow, we whiffed on that one. Got the next one right. This was a good one because we got plus 120 on this one. Kyle Bohalo. He looked darn good. I'm trying to think do I remember him because he fought twice in the contender series, because he looked good in the contender series, or because he has a stupid neck tattoo. I'm thinking it's probably the neck tattoo that made me remember him. But anyway, he looked good last night.
I liked him on the contender series. I thought he got screwed.
I think I did too.
Screwed and had to fight twice because he beat Aaron Jeffrey, who was like, he's UFC level talent already. I remember picking Kai Bohio, but remember thinking, like, it's a shame that Aaron Jeffrey got given Kai Bohio, because, like, at the end of the day, he really ought to have, like, both of them could have been signed and it would have been no big deal. But yeah, like, you know, Bohio, he looked great. He did exactly what we said he was going to in stuffing Omar Gadzaev's takedown attempts. But here's what I'm going to say, and this is going to be the second time I'm going to say it, because I'm going to say it twice over the course of this episode. He ought to have lost this fight. And I'm glad I got the pick right. But, like, he should lose this fight. He should not have gotten a win in his record. And, like, you could catapult him forward in the rankings or whatever you wanted afterwards by saying he was the better fighter and he controlled the fight and he was winning through the third round. But at the end of the day, he threw an incredibly illegal strike in a situation that it was obviously illegal. It was targeting it was targeting the head. Like, it wasn't like he shot the elbow and it slipped and he landed on it. He was shooting to knee the guy in the head when he was on the ground. He succeeded, and somehow we called it accidental and went to the judges' scorecards. I think just because he was winning, which is not a good reason to give somebody a technical decision that he was, like, already winning. So, and I'll be back at this again in a little while. Like,
it was one of those weekends.
Yeah, when somebody throws a blatantly illegal strike and ends a fight, I don't care if they're already winning. You don't go to the judges' scorecards. You just say that was blatantly illegal.
You can't foul someone in the NBA and say you didn't mean to, and they say, okay, it's fine. That's, you know, if you broke the rules and it ended the fight, then you lost. But we're glad he didn't in this case.
Yeah, and I really like Kai Bohio. Like,
yeah,
I mean, he's a fun fighter to watch. He's a great up-and-comer. Obviously, he's, like, head and shoulders better than Gadzi Omar Gadzaev. Like, but, like, at the end of the day, he should lose his fight. That's how the rules work.
Exactly. No, that's not how they work, unfortunately. That's not how the rules work. I guess it's up to the ref to
it is, no, but it was intentional. Here's the thing, though. It is how the rules work. Like, the thing is, when the rules are applied appropriately, that's a DQ. Like, that's just how it works.
If the referee declares it's intentional, right. But the referee didn't.
You're going to have to really explain to me how a knee – aiming for the head, landing on the head is accidental.
No, it's true. Very true. So I guess they buried the lead. He won via technical decision, 29-27, 29-27, 29-27, because, what, about a minute left in the fight? It was 3:56 when it got stopped. He threw an illegal knee. So the ref deemed it accidental, quote-unquote. The quote's my own. And so since more than half the fight was through, they went to the judge's decision, and Bahia was up 2-1, so he won the fight. So there you go. But yeah.
Ridiculous.
True. But we'll take that plus money any day of the week. The next fight, let me see. Oh, I got some more plus money. Haha. Andre Fialo, plus 150 over Miguel Baeza. Dan had Baeza. I had Fialo. Fialo, TKO punches, 4:39 into the first round. Since you got this one wrong, Dan, your homework will be to your punishment will be to explain this fight to everyone.
It's exactly what I said it would be. I said Miguel Baeza was way better than Andre Fialo, and he would beat him up the entire fight unless Andre Fialo landed a big bomb, because I said he's a power puncher and pretty much only that. And guess what? He landed a big bomb.
He landed a bunch of bombs.
Well, I mean, like, I think he landed a good uppercut. He landed one really nice uppercut in the clinch and followed it up with a bunch of, good enough follow-up shots to a stunned opponent to knock him out. But, he was getting badly beat by Baeza. Baeza looked far superior in the first round. Fialo just found his opening right near the end of the first round. I thought Baeza was going to look better than that in his comeback fight here is kind of his way of getting back on track. And he did look great. I don't think he looked stellar enough that I'm, like, pumped to see him again. And clearly
he's not. Three straight losses.
Yeah, but, like, the other thing is, I mean, I guess he's not that young, but, like, he was a really promising prospect and knocked out Matt Brown. And, you know, he was 3-0 in the UFC to start, and losing to Ponzinibbio and Chaos Williams aren't bad losses. This Fialo loss, he was winning the whole time before he took a bad shot. I think they're going to give him another shot. I'll say that. But, man, he's just got to figure out his chin or figure out how to stay a little safer a little longer.
You can't figure out your chin. That works.
That's true. So maybe the latter, then. He needs to figure out how to be safe longer.
Exactly. Yeah, he'll be turning 30 in the summer, which isn't, you know, super old, but it's not prospect age either. So Dan totally downplayed my pick there, but I don't care because I won anyhow. We got this next one right too. Shitara, Myra Bueno Silva looked very good at a return to bantamweight, beating Wu Yanan Clan 29-28, 29-28, 30-27.
Not really much to say about this one other than Wu Yanan looking surprised at this decision is hilarious. She got the shit kicked out of her pretty repeatedly for the whole fight and somehow thought she had walked away with a win.
Hey, she got a bonus. Wuyanan Klan ain't nothing to F with. She got $50,000. So so did Moira Bueno Silva. That was the fight of the night. Hit that one. We hit the next one. It was a little harder than we – well, actually, this scorecard does not – reflect how difficult this fight was for Pat Sabatini, but he beat TJ Laramie 30-26, 30-26, 30-26, another -4, 25 win for us. But Laramie was way more game in the grappling realm than I think we had anticipated.
Yeah, he did a really phenomenal job at stuffing some of the early attempts from Sabatini. I think it actually poses more questions from Sabatini than it answers for Laramie. At the end of the day, like, he was good enough to beat a guy who he should have beaten pretty easily, but now I'm kind of wondering just how good those takedowns are if he takes a step up. So that's certainly an interesting one. But, yeah, like the score was far closer than 30-26. However, I think the judges did a great job in that fight in calling it exactly what it was.
Yeah, no complaint about the score, but, yeah, it doesn't reflect – the actual fight, I think, or the tightness of the fight. So, yeah, I guess it shows our expectations for Pat Sabatini that he can win 30-26 on three scorecards, and we're still saying that he has more work to do, but I think it's true. And then the opener of the main card, welterweight Munir Laziz beat our underdog pick, Anj Losa, 32-27, 32-27, 30-27, just outclassed Losa. Losa looked good. He definitely looks UFC caliber, but Laziz really picked him apart when he chose to.
Yeah, I'm sort of blaming this one on Losa looking a little slower, which I'm assuming kind of has to do with the late notice and the weight cut and all that kind of stuff. I'm not sure I would necessarily pick Losa if you rematched him with a full fight camp, but I'd think about it again because he looked much slower than he looked in both the Doomsday Howard and the Jack Della Maddalena fights. So I think there's a better Anj Losa in there than what we saw. But like, yeah, like Lazez did what he needed to pick him apart from the outside.
And then because this is MMA, Lazez gave a shout out to a notorious crime, a leader of a crime cartel that US just put a $5 million bounty on.
Yeah, normal type stuff.
Yes, because MMA, folks. So there you go. So that was the main card. I went 2-4. Dan went 3-3. Oh, but things are going to get worse for Dan coming up. You just wait. We're going to get to the prelims, which you would think he would be an expert on since he's been doing prelim stuff for how long now, Dan? Like, you started your career covering prelims. So now look at you. 3-5 in the prelims.
I've moved up to beating you in the main card.
Perhaps. All right, let me tell you about Stable Duel. There are never enough things to gamble on, and the one sport that runs 365 days a year is horse racing. Best part is now there's a new way to play the ponies, especially if you're brand new to the sport. Check out Stable Duel, a daily fantasy style app where you can play free and paid games for real cash prizes. Pick your horses, build your stable, and play against others to move up the leaderboard. Win as much as $40,000 with one entry. Don't know anything about horses? Not to worry. The app gives you clear data on which horse to select to build your best strategy. The app is free to download at StableDuel.com. Multiple games are offered each day with free games weekly at tracks all over the United States. Get in the app, create your account, and start building your stables today. Invite your friends to play against you or play against our stables. You can even follow them in the app, and we can compare our own stats. Download now at StableDuel.com and see how many winners you can pick in your stable. See you in the winner's circle. Play, race, win. And we're brought to you by PropSwap, America buys and sells sports bets. The NBA playoffs are set, and PropSwap is where bettors find the best odds and turn the hardwood into hard cash. PropSwap is the only app that allows you to pick your favorite teams and then sell your bets whenever you want. Many PropSwappers make thousands of dollars just by buying and selling championship futures all playoffs long. This allows you to win over and over without your team ever lifting the trophy. Go to PropSwap.com or download the free PropSwap app today. PropSwap has fantastic features like filtering listed tickets based on the best value, a free activity feed to stay in the know with all the big sales and red-hot tickets for sale, loyalty rewards program that turns your ticket sales into extra bonus cash, and first deposit cash match. Use promo code SGP on your first deposit, and PropSwap will match your deposit up to $500. Generally, real sports bettors on PropSwap, where America buys and sells sports bets. Just don't sell your Phoenix Suns futures. Hang on to those. All right. Here's a heartbreaking fight, Dan. Main event of the prelims, heavyweights, Devin Clark, TKO'd William Knight. Third round, 321. We did not see this coming. We had Big Willie at the plus 145. We said that Clark does not pose a threat to him, and Clark knocked him out somehow.
Yeah, the elbow was great. I almost wonder if it has something to do with Clark just being able to be fresh and a heavyweight. But then again, he didn't come in all that heavy. He came in at 223. So, hey, maybe we're just seeing a new invigorated Devin Clark. But, man, if you told me this fight was going to end this way, I probably would have laughed at you. It is a very surprising one for Devin Clark to go in there and land that big elbow. Knight, I'll also say this too, Knight just did not look as powerful as I kind of assumed he would at heavyweight. No. While being bigger and clearly putting on some muscle mass here, I was not impressed with his display of power, with the exception of that crazy German suplex he whipped out of nowhere in the middle of second round, or the end of the second round, rather. That was classic Willie Knight, but at the end of the day, yeah, like, not particularly impressed with what we saw. Good for Devin Clark. Like, dude, good to see this dude figuring it out wherever he figures it out, because sometimes he looks like a world beater, sometimes he doesn't, and last night he looked pretty damn good.
Penny Kianzad looked pretty good. We had her minus 425. She beat Lena Landsberg, 29-28, 29-28, 29-28. I don't know. Is there much to say about this fight, Dan?
No, exactly what we said. She would be faster. She's gained more levels to her game since Landsberg's been out. And, you know, who knows what the delay really did to Lena Landsberg, you know, the fact that she's been out for a while. But, yeah, like, tough one here for her.
Having kids is no picnic either. So what's the next fight? Lightweights, Drakkar Klose. TKO punches Brandon Jenkins. He looked fantastic. Took him 33 seconds into the second round. He was very close to finishing in the first, but Klose, despite saying he still messed up from Jeremy Stephens' push, looked pretty darn good last night, and we had him at minus 600, so that was a big payday for us.
Yeah, I mean, like, for him, we were just wondering whether or not he was the same version that left, you know, before that shove. And he was. You know, he's the guy who stunned Beneil Dariush, who's now ranked, what, number 5 or 6 in the UFC or something like that. Like, he's the same guy who stunned him and basically had a beat, and you put him up against the guy who was 0-1 in the UFC. So he beat him down appropriately.
And Herb Dean was trying to make sure Jenkins was dead before he called the fight. So that's why it lasted into the sixth round.
Well, he had a good stoppage last week, so you can't expect, you know, lightning to strike twice.
It's true. Lightweights, Rafa Garcia beat Jesse Ronson. Submission, rear naked choke, second round, 450 into it. I hit this one, of course, minus 115. That was a nice score for me. Dan was wrong again. I was hoping Garcia's grappling would carry him through here, and it did.
Yeah, I was not expecting him to be as successful with his ground game, but it looked good, and now, you know, Rafa Garcia to quietly put two together in a row, largely behind his wrestling. So, you know, kind of meeting the hype we thought he had behind him when he came out of Combate. So, good for him. Look forward to seeing him fight again, because it was exciting.
Yeah. This one was another heartbreaker, but I got it right. Martin Boudet, minus 220, beat Huggy Bear Chris Barnett. This was another one of our technical decisions, because 135 into the round three, Boudet inadvertently elbowed Barnett in the back of the head, and so they went to the scorecards, and he won 3 rounds to 9, 30-27, 30-27, 30-27. Silver line here for you, Dan, is this sets up our Chris Barnett-William Knight dream fight.
So, first of all, my dream fight is actually, I've changed my mind. Okay. I want William Knight, because he does, like, press against people a little bit and try to use his muscle. I don't want that for Chris Barnett after last night. I want somebody who's going to stand and just throw leather with him. Yep. So instead, I've moved on to, I really need thick Willie Knight to fight Ilir Latifi.
That's what name popped in my head.
Yeah, like, it needs to happen, right? Like, those two very clearly should be able to make 205 balls of muscle. Let's just let them clash and see what the fuck happens with it. But, yeah, I mean, I'm going to go back to my Kaibo Hayo point. Like, in what world do you throw an elbow clearly to the back of somebody's head and the ref deems that it's illegal enough to not give you a TKO, but somehow unintentional? Like, I you can't throw an elbow to the back of somebody's head unintentionally. Like, he didn't move. It's not like he moved and you, like, happened to catch the back of his head because he was moving in a funny direction. He was standing still with his head down, and you struck him directly in the back of the head, and then we're like, oh, darn, hit him in the back of the head. Like, that, again, should be a DQ win for Huggy Bear. Again, the right guy won, similar to Kaib Ohio, and the MMA gods giveth and they take it away for me because I got one of these right and one of these wrong, but it really should be flip-flopped in the ones I got right and ones I got wrong.
That is MMA for you, and you pretty much summed up Chris Barnett in the clinch. He did move, you said there, and that's pretty much was the problem with Chris Barnett. He was kind of allowing himself to be grappled too much.
Yeah, I mean, like, that's always kind of been the knock on him, right? Yeah. Like, is that, like, he's so fun when he's in the open. He did do a good job early on in the fight in getting off that cage. But, yeah, like, as time went on, it's clear that Boudet's size just wore on him.
Yep. Lightweights, Jordan Leavitt, who I thought I had picked, but I didn't actually, Dan. You thought I picked him too, right? But I went back and checked. I did not pick him. I had Trey Ogden, sadly. Trey Ogden won split decision 28-29,
29-28.
He lost the split decision. I'm sorry, yes. Oh, Leavitt won, correct. See, I messed up again. So I had this one wrong, sadly. I was in your boat, Dan.
Well, first of all, the fact that this is a split decision, somebody's got to check on Junichiro Camijo, as the judge who got it wrong. Man, for some reason I botched that, and he's on there all the time. That's one of the worst scorecards I've seen in a while. There's no way you give Trey Ogden the second or third round. There's just no way. And he won the first round largely just because he stole it at the very end with, like, a really nice guillotine attempt. But, like, he did not win the second or third, and that's coming from somebody who picked him and was rooting for him and wanted him to win. If you look at the media scores, it was 11 people scored it for Jordan Leavitt. 7 scored it for Trey Ogden, which seemed like a lot to me. I was like, how did 7 people score this for Trey Ogden?
All right, here we go.
4 of them are from SureDog. So it's actually 11-3 when you only count sane media members.
So strange. It's really weird.
They're the worst scorecards I've ever seen.
Weird. Even with Shawnee Sheehan over there, it's not rubbing off on them. They're still
He still logs his – I would say, first of all, he still logs his under severe MMA.
Yeah.
And so his scorecard was correct. It's up in the left zone. The 4 that logged there is under SureDog just – turn in the worst fight cards ever, along with, another, like, tipster who is clearly just scoring the fights for the person he thinks he bet on.
Yeah. Oh, I thought I bet on Leavitt, so I was happy after this one, but alas, I did not.
You can at least be happy for Leavitt. That dude's a good dude.
Yeah, he's a good dude. The Monkey King rises again. All right, we got the next one wrong, too. Sam Hughes got her first win in 4 tries in the UFC, majority decision 29-27, 29-27, 28-28. We had a lot of wacky stuff this weekend. You don't see a lot of majority decisions, but she beat Estella Nunes, who apparently thought it was a 1-round fight and stopped fighting after 1 round.
Yeah. The physicality of Hughes was pretty impressive. Yeah. We've always known she's like kind of an athlete, but never been able to like put it together real well. So that's good to see that it's happened. I would also say, you mentioned the 28-28 score being kind of crazy. Did you happen to see who put the 28-28 score out there?
Adelaide Bird?
Our old friend Adelaide Bird.
It was. I see. I guessed. I didn't see it. I'm just guessing, but wow.
Yeah, it's wild that you were able to guess that. But yeah,
Adelaide. How did she score it?
Hang on.
Around a draw?
I believe she gave a 10-8 to Hughes in the second. No, in the third. 10-8 to Hughes in the third, but she gave the second to Nunes somehow.
I'm all for 10-8s, but come on now.
Well, she did lose a point to an eye poke. So,
oh, right. Yes,
should have been a 10-8, but I don't know how in the world you give Nunes the second round. That's just like a wild scorecard.
Yeah, this was a very illegal night of fights, or weekend of fights. Lots of infractions. And then to open up the night, Healy Alatang Healy. TKO'd Kevin Kroom 47 seconds into the fight. So things started off good for us because we got minus 180 on that one.
Yeah, and I was, you know, we talked about how Kevin Kroom is, you know, one of his issues up at featherweight was he wasn't the fastest featherweight, right? He was long and lanky, which is always an advantage he's had, but he's just been a little bit too slow for a lot of people. And then he went down a weight class. That doesn't help, dude. Like, that just makes it fucking worse, and it made it really bad. Because Oletang just starched him. Question for you, though. How in the hell does Haile Oletang not get a performance bonus for that one?
Like, correct, yes.
My goodness, yeah, what a weird choice.
Yes, I didn't go over the performance bonuses. I told you the fights of the night, Silva and Wu Yanan clan, who Dan did not laugh at my joke yet for that.
It's a Wu clan joke.
And then Andre Fialo and Drakkar Kolosa won the 50 grand for performances of the night. But yeah. Oletang couldn't have done much more. 47 seconds it took him to finish that. But a lot of times, early prelim people do get discriminated in these bonuses. But it should be the other way around because they're the ones that make the least amount of money. But anyhow, we don't give out the bonuses. We just report them. So that ended Dan's terrible, horrible, no good night. He went 6-8. He lost $537 and 19 cents based on $100 bets. For the year, you're still at 60% for your picks, so that's good. You're down $876. That's not good, Dan. For me, I went 9-5. Yawn. I made $45. So for the year, I'm at 68%. My percentage actually went down. That's how good I'm somehow doing this year. I went 9-5, and I actually went down to 68%. I'm up $822.65, which is a 5.6 return on investment. Holler at me. Tag along. Tail along. Stop telling me how great Gumby is, please. But Dan will remind you, recommended plays is the place where he shines, right?
Ooh, it's not this week.
No. Recommended plays, 0-4, minus $100 for Dan. He had Luque, he had Ogden, he had Knight, he had Sabatini in the first round. Whiffed on all of those. I had Luque, half of my money went to Luque, which did not come through. I had Bohio, I had Sabatini, and then I had Knight. So I ended up 2-2, but I was down $31. So not quite as bad, but not good either. So on the year, I'm at 57% on my recommended plays, which still sucks. I'm way worse picking recommended plays than I am picking every fight, which doesn't make sense. But I'm up $67, 5.8% return on investment. Dan, 53% on his picks. So I have eclipsed him there, but he's up more money, 92.83, 8.1% return on investment.
Boom. Yeah, we're gonna have to pick those up for next week.
We are going to have to for sure. Next week would be this week, whenever you're getting this in your ear, UFC Fight Night Lemos versus Andrade. But really, it is the return of the future barber. Macy Barber is the big fight on the card.
Did you see she's not the only, like, Gumby hatred fight on the card either?
Let me see. I'm going to scan through here. It's definitely not Bozer and Romanoff. He loves those two, right? Who else to see? It's not Manel Cape because he likes him.
Oh, I love Manel Cape.
There are actually quite a few people we like here. It's not Ike Villanueva, who was on Top Turtle last week. He's a nice guy. It's not Tyson Pedro. He's a fun guy, too. Is it Dean Barry, Dan?
No, is it Mike Jackson? No, I interviewed Mike Jackson this week, too.
Here it is. It wasn't on the official card. We got the Beverly Hills Ninjas back this week, everybody.
My God, do I hate Jordan Wright.
Jordan Wright and Macy Barber. Who do you hate more?
Definitely Macy Barber, because Jordan Wright isn't full of himself talking about he's going to be the youngest champ, even though he's got, like, 6 months left and is on a losing streak.
He's a ninja, though.
Yeah, and he is
Did
so
he himself that?
He is so frustrating to watch fight, because, like, he's clearly got some gifts, clearly fights like a freaking moron, and somehow wins anyway.
He has gifts and gifts, correct?
Correct, yep. That's a great way of putting it.
Yep. And, you know, this is a sneaky good fight card, actually. We got main event, Amanda Lemos versus Francesca Andrade, a women's strawweight, possibly number one contender fight or very well close to that. Depends how things play out. Clay Guida, Claudia Puelis, Tanner Bozer, Alexander Romanov. That's a fun one. Lana Venata, Charles Jourdain, fun one. Macy, the future hairstylist, versus Montana De La Rosa. Steve Garcia versus Demir Hadzevic. We got Manel Cape's return versus Suma Derji. That's a good fight. Luis Koski versus Preston Parsons. Dwight Grant versus Sergey Kandozko. Condosco. Tyson Pedro finally is returning versus Ike Villanueva. Quiling Aori versus Cameron Els. Martin Prochnio versus Philippe Lins. Dean Barry, he's hyped up. Irish guy, right? I believe.
Yeah, versus... less hyped than like an Ian Garry,
right.
But like
he's barely it's fought, like a, hasn't he?
If you got Ian Garry off a Wish.
Yeah. And he's fighting Michael Jackson. Not that Michael Jackson. And then Jordan Wright versus Marc-Andre Berrio. So we can cheer for the Canadian at least, Dan.
We can do that. Yep.
Good fight card though, right?
It's not bad. There's a few names I really love on it because, you know, I've talked about how I love Romanoff and Manel Cape. Yes. So, like, those two make the night for me entirely.
Two totally separate body types, different body types, those two.
They are very different looking fellas.
Dan does not have a type, apparently, when it comes to these guys. I do not. All right. So, yeah, it's not really a big star. Top heavy star powered card, but it's got a lot of people that we'd like to, that nerds that listen to this podcast, the gents that listen to this podcast like to see. So we got that, and we'll give you a couple cyborgs fighting in Bellator, and the women's flyweight belt is on the line too in Bellator. So we'll break down those fights for you as well. And who knows what else we'll do. So let's put this baby to bed. Make sure you follow us on Twitter. If you could, Jeff Foxwriter, he is Gumby Vreeland. If you like this podcast, make sure you subscribe to the actual MMA Gambling Podcast feed so you can get it into your ears sooner or wherever you stick it. You can stick it anywhere you want. I don't care. Just subscribe. And if you give us a review, that would be really great and a rating because the golf guys are dominating all the reviews. Only ones we get are yelling at us for being lefties. So it would be nice to get some reviews if you actually do like us. Maybe this is the wrong week to ask after Dan did you dirty last weekend, but anyhow, I'm putting it out there as it is. Read my stuff, moneymma.substack.com and sportsgamblingpodcast.com. And just if you're into fantasy baseball, I just posted my waiver wire piece for this coming week. Players to get in on to help you win a week. I just stole my in the SGPN league. I just saved myself with a waiver pickup today that I was losing 7-3 and ended up going 5-5. So apparently it's a big deal. Everyone's making a big deal over that. But anyhow, so you can read that and plus all our other sports are all covered there as well. And then Dan's podcast, our prelim primer. Yes, primer. Picker was the column you wrote. Primer is the spoken word podcast. And then he's Top Turtle MMA, right?
Correct.
Okay. Let's put this one to bed. He is Gumby, Beverly Hills Ninja, Vreeland. I am the future hairstylist, Jeff Fox, and we will talk to you on Wednesday.